I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Mulley and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. He is our man in Vegas by way of San Francisco, Joe Fortenbaugh. 95.7 The Game in the Bay Area, the Sharp 600 podcast. Joe, are we celebrating? Are we happy? Are we wondering what the future holds?
Boys, we're definitely celebrating. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I'm very much looking forward to making my first ever sports bet.
As far as anyone knows, yeah.
Nice one.
Yeah. As far as anyone knows, as far as it's on the record. But no, this is a big day. And it's interesting because the timing of my relationship with you guys, we first started doing these radio hits and talking together back in, I believe it was 2011 when I first moved to Vegas. Big Z introduced me to you guys.
Yes.
And the reason I had moved to Vegas was because I was looking to get in with all the bookmakers and the professional gamblers in anticipation of this day so that maybe I'd have an opportunity to break into a bigger media outlet when this happened. Now, other things fortunately broke my way. I was lucky enough to get a radio gig here in San Francisco. But that doesn't change the fact that it was surreal yesterday, almost to an extent, to think that after 6 years in the court system, the Supreme Court finally ruled PASPA was going to be repealed. You know, the 1992 act that only allowed Nevada to take bets on sports wagers. And now here we are by a vote of 6-3 over the next 2 to 5 years. We should probably see about 25 or 26 states with legalized sports betting. New Jersey, obviously, was the state that filed the case. Former Governor Chris Christie, they should be the first ones out. And in fact, William Hill, the sportsbook operator from across the pond who is in Vegas as well, they're going to be operating at Monmouth Racetrack in New Jersey. They'll be ready to go very shortly, definitely in time for football season.
So who loses? I mean, the states are looking for added revenue, and they think they're going to get a big payday, although I don't think it's nearly as much as some people believe. Molly was saying that Mark Cuban came out and said, franchises are going to be
double their value.
I mean, it's amazing. I didn't even consider that. The league obviously looking for that 1%,
which means players win.
Yeah,
if revenue goes up that crazily,
who are there losers in this thing? Does Vegas take a hit? Does obviously some people who might gamble more than they should could have more avenues
to
do so.
Yeah, regressive tax on the poor.
I'd say you could look to three individuals, three elements that could lose, but I don't think they're going to lose big. Number one, people are going to talk about Vegas, but let's be honest. How often were you going to Vegas specifically to bet on sports? Now, it's become a destination in that you're going to go bet on sports for March Madness, but you're really going for all the chaos that comes with March Madness. Same thing with the Super Bowl. You know, years ago, they started shrinking the size of the sports books because it was taking up too much real estate in the casino, and the sports book generates less profit than anything else. You start with the slot machines, you work your way to blackjack and roulette and the table games. Sports betting's dead last, so they didn't want to dedicate, the casinos that is, too much floor space to them. But in recent years, they've started really putting some money back. Look at Caesar's Palace. They've got a fantastic sports book now, the Mirage, the Wynn, and the reason for that is that a lot of people coming to Vegas enjoy the sports experience. They want to bet on the game, but they also want to drink. They want to have a good time. They want to be able to see everything that's taking place. NFL Sundays, all that stuff. So I think people are still going to go to Vegas for a good time no matter what. This might hurt the sports betting bottom line a bit, but I was never really getting on a plane just to go to Vegas to bet on sports. It was part of what I did when I was there, no doubt about it, but it wasn't the primary reason. So Vegas should be fine. Number two, the corner bookmaker is supposed to take a hit here. But let's be honest, a lot of people go to the corner bookmaker because you can play on credit. This is one of the dirty little secrets, that instead of putting the money down like you'll have to with these sports books, a bookie will set you up with an account, maybe he'll give you a $2,000 credit line, and you'll reach an agreement where you say something like, look, after every week, if you're up or down more than 500, we're going to settle up. If not, let it roll over. The downside there is you have no recourse. If you get stiff, you're not exactly dealing with you know, necessarily the most trustworthy bunch of people.
You can't go on Yelp and give them a bad review?
Yeah, you can't you can't knock them on Yelp and just go ahead and get away with that. So they might take a bit of a sting, but I think there's still going to be a market for that sort of thing because people can play on credit. And a lot of people think the offshore bookmakers may get burned here. But the reality with those guys is that I think they're going to benefit even better. I think they're going to step in and they're going to try to undercut the market in America. Because here's the biggest potential issue. There are two, in my opinion. Number one, greed. Right? You go to Vegas now, you lay $110 for the privilege of winning $100. That's the juice, 10%. But the leagues and everybody else, they're going to want their cut. So if all of a sudden I got to now lay $125 to win $100, that's not going to be very enticing. The leagues, obviously, Goodell started this yesterday. Well, we're going to talk to Congress about laying the groundwork for sports betting. No, you're not. You're going to lobby Congress to make sure you get your cut. And it's understandable. You're going to want a piece of the action. But this is why you should have been ahead of the curve. This is why you should have been pushing for legalization rather than working against it. Because now the states can go ahead and do what they want without even talking to you. It was a bad business model from the beginning. But, of course, the integrity thing really mattered. So you've got to be able to find a way where the leagues can get their cut without taking too much off the top. And at the same time, media outlets, major media outlets, need to exercise responsibility with their coverage. If you're going to talk more about sports betting, hire people that know what they're talking about. Do not take current analysts and force them to talk about this if they don't know what they're talking about. You don't want bad information out there. You don't want people's first experience into this world to be a negative one.
What, Joe, when you know, Joe Ostrowski made a point earlier that that a place like FanDuel already has a list of potential gamblers, already has the information. I mean, it seems like a lot of the fantasy areas, that could be another point where you'll make a lot of money, where you have people already and you can open that up in different ways.
Joe's exactly right. And that's one of the best points that's out there right now. And DraftKings has already let everybody know that they're going to start taking sports bets. It's kind of funny because when you go back to 2015, we all remember that ad blitz where we couldn't go two commercials without FanDuel or DraftKings.
Yeah.
And that brought a lot of heat on those companies, which in turn got New York State looking into them, which led to a major lawsuit. Now, DFS, Daily Fantasy Sports, they ended up winning that lawsuit, but it cost them a fortune in legal fees to fight that battle. And the entire battle hinged on this. Fantasy sports are a game of skill. Gambling is a game of chance, and because it's a game of chance, it's not going to be legalized. But it's okay to play fantasy because it's a game of skill. Now, anyone who's spent any time trying to beat the VIG in sports betting, trying to turn a profit, knows sports betting is without question a game of skill. But because it was classified as a game of chance, it was subject to a different set of laws. So this was the big difference between fantasy and sports betting. Now, fast forward to sports betting being legalized, suddenly Daily Fantasy Sports is like, yeah, we're willing to take bets. Well, I thought you guys weren't sports betting. Yeah, whatever. That was all BS. We're ready to go. So now the cat's out of the bag for everyone. The funniest part about it is the guy in New York who was going after DFS, he's that guy that's being asked to step down now because he's got that whole scandal going on. So it's a mess like usual. Shout out America. This is how we do things. But DFS is definitely set to capitalize on.
Will we see the day where Congress makes it, just unifies it and makes it a national law, and so the tax is uniform across the United States? Because you see some states are suggesting 7 to 10%. Illinois, one of the bills floating is 12.5%. And when it comes to it, now you have states competing against each other. If Indiana comes in at 9 or 10% and Illinois is more of a fiscal mess and needs more money, and you know they want to go 12.5%, maybe someone just gets in the car and drives 20 minutes to a place in Indiana.
Great point. A competitive marketplace is great for the consumer, no doubt about it. I'm always of the belief that less federal regulation is generally better for us. I could see where maybe the feds would want to get involved and make it uniform, but I think right now, legalized marijuana is laying out a good footprint for how sports betting can follow. Now, granted, the feds can step in at any time and shut that down. The sports betting situation was the Supreme Court ruling PASPA, the Professional and Amateur Sports Protection Act. They were ruling that to be unconstitutional. So now it's up to the states. In the case of legalized marijuana, the states are kind of free to do what they want, but Big Brother's watching and they can step in at any time. But look at how it's been handled. It started in Colorado and then went to Washington and California and Oregon, and you started with medicinal and then you made it legal and you taxed it, and hey, guess what? Crime's not up and people are making money and people are feeling better. People who are suffering from ailments are taking advantage of the product. The product's getting safer and more regulated than ever before, and they're coming up with all these great usages and innovations for it. So I think that you have different states regulating in different ways in that market. That could provide a nice blueprint for sports betting. Even though there are different rules and regulations, there are ways that everybody can find success.
Great, Joe. Really appreciate it. Joe Fortenbaum, 95.7 The Game in the Bay Area. And, of course, you'll be dealing with this, I'm sure, on the Sharp 600 podcast.
Yep, we've already got an episode up there. Now, if you'll excuse me, I'm going to go make my first wager. Not sure who it's going to be. Might go ahead and get behind the Warriors. They're looking pretty good.
Oh, boy.
Who wouldn't want a fresh start? And that's what this is.
Oh, my God. After the way I bet football last year, I absolutely need a fresh start.
All right, Joe. Thanks, pal.
Take care, Joe. Wow.
I hadn't thought about it that way, but really, it's just the rebirth of gambling, isn't it, Joe? You get a clean slate and off you go.
Oh, so those losses don't count over the years?
No. You're starting from scratch.
But we did talk about it at 5-5 that the one you worry about is the NCAA. Because, you know, the pro leagues get their 1% integrity fee, and the kids who still aren't getting paid, or, you know, they're still looking for the student-athlete trying to get more than room and board and tuition. How do you, does the NCAA stand in line and take their 1% and that doesn't go down?
I think initially, anyway, it's going to be professional sports and sporting leagues, but you are absolutely right. That is a lot of money sitting out there if you're getting 1%. How would the NCAA feel, Joe, if they could assure themselves maybe, I don't know, $5 on every bracket that's running an office, something like that? Give me a break.
Is this going to push us closer to that day with the revenue-generating sports where the athletes are paid? How things have changed in a matter of just a few years. The Raiders are going to Vegas. There's an NHL team in the West Finals that is in Vegas. They're getting a WNBA team. They're going to have Final Fours down the road. I think eventually there'll be a Super Bowl there.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.